You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, hello, welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Thursday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:40pm with James Millman, Chris Pimlott and Kevin O'Malley in the studio. Brighton, Haydock and Yarmouth are the afternoon meetings. We have Sandown, Newcastle and Wolverhampton in the evening. So plenty to get stuck into, action on the turf and on the all weather there. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Andrew Mount. Hi, Andrew.
Greetings, Mark. I'm good, thank you. How are you doing?
Yes, not too bad, thank you. Not too bad at all. Better than the weather. The weather's causing real problems at the moment. It's the middle of August and we're talking about possible abandonments for rain.
Right. And I see the Daily Express has finally got a new headline rather than sort of like, you know, the snow forecast. It's sort of 3 days of rain, biblical proportions, etc. We're all going to die horribly of drowning tomorrow.
Right. And on that cheery note, let's move on to tomorrow now. Just a couple of things I want to talk about before I get stuck into tomorrow. Big news with regards to the jump season. There's going to be a raft of changes to the novice chase programme. Trainers such as Nicky Henderson and Paul Nichols are backing the new idea. Trainers like Donald McCain not entirely convinced. What do you make of the new changes?
Yeah, that's right. They're trying to make it more competitive, trying to get more runners in novice chases. It's something that's been tried previously without too much success. And the problem is when you get one obviously superior horse, perhaps trained by a Nichols or a Henderson, nobody else wants to finish too close to it in case they get put up the handicap sharply as a result. But then I've been told that it's only the winning that's going to go up the ratings, not anything else in the race. So that's been widely welcomed. Although, as you say, Donald McCain still thinks there's a dearth of opportunities for horses rated around the 110 to 130 mark.
Yeah.
I was chatting to Andrew Thornton off air about this a short time ago. He made an interesting point about novice handicap chases, and he reckons that because they're often run at very strong paces, it helps for a horse to have had experience in a novice chase previously, because they tend to go sort of pretty steadily in those. But something I'll be researching, trying to find out how many novice handicap chase winners have already run in a non-handicap novice chase previously.
Yeah. Find out. Go on, get on your stats machine.
What's your space? Ask me again in October.
Yeah. I suppose the idea is that if you're running against an Altior or something at 1-4, you don't want to get too close because you don't want to blow the mark. You won't be punished for that under this. There'll be no rise in the weights for finishing second. The handicap was supposed to do that anyway, wasn't he? He wasn't supposed to consider...
Well, yeah, it was an unwritten rule, supposedly. Yeah. And but again, there's always going to be the chance that one of these horses is going to underperform and you're going to get, half a length, three quarters of a length behind and then go up a stone plus. So that won't happen anymore.
Also going to see the introduction of a new £100,000 novice handicap chase final in the spring, and we're also going to see the raising of the ratings band to 145 rather than 140 for the Cheltenham Festival race that's now known as the Close Brothers Novice Handicap Chase.
Yeah, that's a particularly good idea, the raising of the ceiling for the Close Brothers race, because rather than sort of attain a mark of say 138, 139 and then not race again, you now have got the option of doing so, and it won't matter if you win again and go up sort of £5 or £6.
Yeah, I like that. It looks good. So all in all, do you think it's positive or do you think it's negative? Which side do you come down?
Yeah, well, only time will tell, but it certainly seems to be a decent idea. It's worked on the flat, hasn't it, with some of these conditions races where the horses that don't win aren't getting put up regardless of how close they finish to the winner.
Yep. Other news, we've got the Shergar Cup coming up this weekend. Teams have been announced, including a certain Hayley Turner, who's going to ride for the girls in place of Josephine Gordon.
Yeah, she's come out of retirement again.
Yeah, for the 12th time already this season.
Bless her. Yeah, I think we've got to stop using the word retirement when we refer to Hayley Turner, but it's a difficult habit to get out of. And interesting, they're still calling it the girls' team and not the women's team in this day and age. And also interesting that... Have we ever had a female jockey in the rest of the world team or the European team?
Don't know is the answer.
Yeah. I don't think we have actually. So I wonder if we'll see that in the future as well, rather than just the girls' team with three female jockeys. We might have six spread across several teams.
Yeah, would that not negate the point of having a girls' team though?
Very possibly. Maybe we'll just do it by star signs.
Yeah. Just find other random ways to couple them together.
It's not an event that appeals to some racing purists, but it has grown on me over the years. I quite like it.
Yeah. And you get a different element to it, isn't
and
it?
You get manageable fields as well. There's always each way betting, and you're dealing with sort of 8-10 runners, whatever it is, and so there's you don't have to worry too much about draw bias and them splitting into two or three groups down the straight track.
Hmm. All the races are priced up at the moment on WilliamHill.com, and also the winning team, Great Britain and Ireland, currently favourite there at 9-4. That's Jamie Spencer, Fran Berry, and Neil Callan. Europe 11-4. Then all the others are 11-4. Europe, girls, and rest of the world all 11-4 in the market there.
I was about to say it's not been a bad idea just about the outsider in that market over the years, but it doesn't help us very much when it's 11-4.
No. I was going to say, who do you think will win? But I suppose you need to know who's on what, don't you, first, really?
Yes, that's right. Yeah. It's hard enough picking winners on the day, let alone when we don't know which jockeys are running which horses.
And just seeing breaking news as well, as we record this, Enable and Winter both being declared for Champions Day. Well, both in the entries for Champions Day. So
excellent.
Should be superb. Should be a nice finale to the season.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. We'll obviously go into that in more detail close to the time.
Let's hope it stopped raining by then.
Yeah. There's no guarantee that it will have. Anything else on your mind, Andrew, before we move on?
No, that's about it. Just, looking forward to a dry spell and some proper fast ground for these flat horses.
Let's move on then. Thursday's racing is fast approaching. Andrew has four races prepared. Let's get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, on to Thursday's action. We're going to go through these in chronological order. We're going to look at races from Brighton, Haydock, Yarmouth and Sandown. And we start in the 3:30 at Brighton, which is the Brighton Challenge Cup Handicap. It's over a mile and a half, Class 4 events, and a field of 14 set to go to post for this one. Andrew, at least this looks one of the more competitive races on the day.
That's right. Sort of a £20,000 added event, about 12 and a half grand to the winner. Although we go back to 2007, the race was worth about £14,000, so the prize money has declined slightly at this three-day Brighton Festival over the years, but it's still pretty good prize money for a Class 4, 0-80. Three-year-olds have won this on a few occasions. One of those was Mr. Rock and Roll, trained by Mark Johnson in 2015, and he's got one of the likely market leaders here, and that's Curlew River. Penalised after winning at Leicester last time out by a short head. Made the running that day, setting a steady pace. And I just wonder in this bigger field whether the filly's going to be able to get away with that. Her two wins have come in small fields, 7 and 5 runners. I just think she's going to be there to be shot at. And even though Mark Johnson, as I said, has won this with the three-year-old a couple of years ago, he's also had a few relatively short-priced three-year-olds beaten in this race. Including Notarized, who was the 5-4 favourite when only finishing fourth under Sylvester D'Souza in 2014. So I'm going to take this one on, and I was quite interested in Cotton Club for Rod Millman. This one was third at Salisbury last time out behind Kerman, and it was a 10-1 shot that day. And the winner came out and followed up that win at Lingfield off a £4 higher mark. So the form's working out well. Brighton seemed to have missed the rain. It was forecast ahead of Wednesday's racing, but it didn't arrive, so they were calling the going good to firm in places. So if they miss the rain, Cotton Club has got plenty of form on good to firm ground, could be the one to beat Curlew River here.
Cotton Club then, the selection for Andrew there at Brighton. We move on next to the card at Haydock. The 3:50 is the race we're going to look at on their card, and this is a fillies handicap Class 2 event over 6 furlongs. We've got 9 runners set to go to post here, and we'll start with the chances of Sainted, if we may. William Haggis' filly, Danny Tuthope, on board. Last time we saw her, she was running in a fillies Group 3, so this is a bit of a drop in grade, and she was a winner at York the time before. So is this more realistic for her, do you think?
Yes, certainly the case. I mean, William Haggis has got a great record at Haydock. He's got a great record with fillies in general. And as you say, this one won at York by 3 lengths, went 11-10 favourite in a fillies handicap early last month. and then was upped in class to Group 3 company at Glorious Goodwood last week, and finished sixth behind Al Jazzy. Wasn't particularly well drawn that day, drawn very wide, so that was certainly a good effort, and you know, is probably going to go close at least here. But I just thought at a likely bigger price I'd take a chance on Futoon, trained by Kevin Ryan. This one was the yard's first runner back after the herpes outbreak, and that was on the 24th of June, when running a really good race in an air-listed contest. It paid to be drawn on the stand side that day at air. A big advantage to be drawn high. The first three home were drawn 11, 8 and 9. One of those was a stablemate of Futoon, Rural Celebration, who was second at 33-1. So Futoon, in finishing fourth, did best of those who were drawn low. And then, you know, since then she's had excuses, really, and the ground was probably quick enough for her when she was mid-division at York next time, and she was also up with the pace on a day when it that tactic wasn't ideal. The winner of that race came from way back, and then back at York again next time in a hot handicap won by Flying Pursuit. She was drawn on the wrong side. She did best of those drawn in double figures, finishing sixth from stall 18. The first four that that day came from stalls 1, 2, 4, 9 and 5. So, yeah, Futoon, with excuses since that comeback run, I think can perhaps cause a little bit of an upset here.
Futoon, then, the selection for Andrew in the 350 at Haydock. We move on next to Yarmouth for their 440 contest. This is another filly's handicap. This one's a class 4 event over a mile. We've got a field of 8 here. It's for the 3-year-olds as well, and typical of many 3-year-old handicaps, we've got some runners that we know plenty about already. I've had 6 or 7 runs. We know relatively little about some of the others, including Eyes on Asher, who's 1-1 in her career so far, returning from 160 days off. So what do you make of the race, and anything stand out to you in there?
Yeah, certainly an interesting one, Eyes on Asher. Made her debut back in early March at Newcastle. Was slowly away, but overcame greenness to win going away in the end. And so Kevin Ryan's in really good form at the moment. But I'm going to go with the pace angle here. There's a strong following wind forecast at Yarmouth for the straight course, and it could pay to be up with the pace. And the one that interests me is the top weight Miss Time, trained by Mark Johnson. Now, she hasn't raced since July of last year, but she was due to run at Glorious Goodwood last week before taken out because of the ground. And there was a bit of money around for her before that withdrawal. And I think, you know, it's very possible she'll get loose on the lead here. She's stepping up to a mile for the first time, but she certainly runs as though this step up and trip will suit. She's got form on straight tracks, having finished third over 7 furlongs at Newmarket on her final juvenile outing. That was in a decent nursery. So I'm going to go with Miss Time to Make All.
Miss Time to Make All for Andrew there, then. And the 7:15 at Sandown is where we finish off. This is a Class 3 handicap over a mile and a quarter. Another time this time. We've got Time Chaser in the lineup here, Andrew. She's 2-2 in her career as well. She's only just winning on each of those occasions and steps up in trip. So what do you make of her chances? Can she make it 3-3?
Yeah, this is a fascinating race despite the small field. As you say, Time Chaser, the daughter of Dubawi, unbeaten in 2 starts, winning first time out at Kempton when a well back 7-4 shot. So Roger Charlton's usually improved for their first run, so it was significant that she went off so short in the first place. And then switched to turf after a break. In the middle of June, she won by a neck from Tirania, trained by William Haggis. The pair starting 6-4 joint favourites. That was a really good finish that day. I think it was the day that Sylvester D'Souza had 6 winners at Sandown. And,
yeah, I think it was.
I think this was the only one I backed. You know, he was on the runner-up.
As always, it would be the way. Yeah.
Absolutely. So, yeah, Time Chaser, but obvious chance on the bare form, but the ground's going to be a lot softer than she's encountered previously. Hmm. It was officially good to firm last time out. And it's quite interesting that William Haggis is happy to take her on again. And that's with Al Walsh, ridden by Jim Crowley here. Now, this one is a front runner. Looks like he'll be in receipt of an easy lead. And he won a Nottingham maiden and first-time cheek pieces before running in a hot race at Ascot last time, making the running and finishing well behind Dubai. But again, the ground's a bit of a could be a problem for this one. On debut, he was 8th of 9 on officially good to soft ground, and on that surface again at Ascot, 9th of 10. So I think I might take on the pair and go for something at a likely bigger price. And one who will certainly go on the ground is the top weight Star of Rory, trained by Tom Dascombe. Now, this one's been disappointing so far this season. Three runs, 6th, 4th and 10th. But all those came on good or faster going. And you look back to this one's form last year. Was a winner at Haydock on soft ground and then beaten three-quarters of a length by Frankus. Back at Haydock in listed company, again on soft ground. Now, he's been gelded since his last run, so in the hope of that operation bringing about improvement and the return to a soft surface, I think Star of Rory can cause a minor upset here.
All right, taking a bit of a chance on Star of Rory then to cause a little bit of a surprise in that 7:15. As usual, a little bit of a quick summary before you go then, Andrew. Let's confirm those four selections for Thursday, if you wouldn't mind.
OK, the 3:30 at Brighton. I'm with Cotton Club for Rod Millman. Then we're off to Haydock for the Good Fillies Handicap. I'm with Fortune for Inform Kevin Ryan. Over to Yarmouth and the 4:40 race, another Fillies Handicap. This time I'm going for the top weight Miss Time, trained by Mark Johnson. She's been off the track for almost 400 days, but will hopefully be in receipt of an easy lead. And finally, Sandown in the evening. I'm going to take on the likely market leaders with top weight Star of Rory, who'll appreciate the slow ground.
Superb. Thank you very much, Andrew. Been a pleasure speaking to you once again. Good luck and enjoy on Thursday.
Thanks, Mark.
There you go. The thoughts of Andrew Mount on Thursday's racing. Then you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:40 p.m. James Millman, Chris Pimlott and Kevin O'Malley, the team in the studio for Brighton, Haydock and Yarmouth in the afternoon. Sandown, Newcastle and Wolverhampton in the evening. Plenty to get stuck into. Do tune in for that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Thursday's action.
ACCA 5 is William Hill's new ACCA insurance. It means if you have a 5 selection accumulator and one lets you down, you'll get your money back as a free bet. And it's available across all sports. ACCA 5, exclusive to William Hill. T's and C's apply.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.